You turn with me in your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to read together from verse 6 through 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this morning we want to consider together understanding the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God bless to us the reading of His Word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning that we can come to You, into Your holy presence, that we can offer up our hymns of praise, our gifts and offerings, our prayers. And now that we can hear Your Word, we pray that the Holy Spirit, who alone can make clear to us the things of God, would come among us in such power through the Word that we would hear only God. How we thank You for Your Word and for Your Son, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank You that He has disarmed principalities, rulers, authorities, and powers. That He has nailed to the cross the debt, that debt of sin, of trespasses, of iniquities that were ours. And that, Father, You have been well pleased with the death of Your beloved Son. Now He is risen from the dead, triumphant, and He is seated at Your right hand, ever living in Your presence to intercede on behalf of His people. Thank You that You have made us Your people by grace. You have saved us, and that You have enabled us to believe. We who once were sinners, children of wrath, by nature inclined to evil and to sin always. But now, by Your Spirit, You have come to us, and through Your Word have declared Your Son, our Lord Jesus, and we have come to believe in Him. Thank You for everlasting life through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Himself our life. So thank You for Your Word. Help us to understand it, we pray. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have before us here a rather beautiful and complex argument by the Apostle Paul. If you take the time and read through the passage, you might be troubled by some of the difficulties of expressions that the apostle uses. But he wants to give us, or give the Corinthians initially and first of all, a beautiful argument about the wisdom that comes from God, about the wisdom of the Spirit. The Corinthians are troubled by pride and by divisions, by personality cliques and cults among them. But now the Apostle Paul wants to point out to them real, true wisdom, the only wisdom that comes from God. And he will set the wisdom of God in contrast to all the wisdom, all the philosophy of all people. And so what we want to try and see this morning is, how can we understand the wisdom that comes from God? And the answer is quite simple. You can only understand God's wisdom through the Spirit of God. So the things of the Spirit, the things that belong to the Spirit, these are the things in this passage that the Apostle Paul says every Christian understands. And so Paul's argument, if I can put it like this, is going to center around these words, the words understanding or the words comprehending. What do we mean by that in the context? Understanding spiritual truth, grasping spiritual matters, understanding, Paul would have us know, the things that God has revealed. Things that previously were not revealed, but now have been revealed and made known. And unless God reveals Himself, as we know, unless God shows Himself to us, we cannot, it is impossible for any of us to know God. It is not the church that reveals God to us. It is God who reveals Himself to us by the wisdom that He has given to us through the Spirit of God, so that we can only say that we know God by the Spirit of God. That's essentially the argument that the Apostle Paul is conveying to these Corinthians so long ago. And he wants them to know, just as he would want you to know and me to know, that it is not possible to know God at all unless God reveals Himself to you. Not possible at all to understand, to comprehend God unless God reveals Himself to us. A derivative of that statement is that you cannot understand yourself unless you understand God. And so what comes to us by the revealing work of the Spirit of God is not just the knowledge and the wisdom of God, not just the knowledge about Jesus Christ, but in addition, knowledge about yourself. You discover that you are really sinful. You discover that you are at odds with God and that you need reconciliation and that you cannot bring about this reconciliation unless God does it. And these are some of the things that the Apostle Paul is conveying to them. So his argument is going to revolve around these concepts of understanding, of comprehending. So will you notice, if you look at verse 11 first of all, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also," same way, "no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." And if you look at verse 14, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So now you will discover that no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And the natural person cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit of God because those things can only be understood, as he says, or spiritually discerned. So unless God makes himself known by his Spirit to you and to me, to us, we cannot know God. We cannot know ourselves. So we cannot understand anything, Paul wants to tell the Corinthians, tell us, apart from the Holy Spirit's work through the Word, His work directly upon us. Now I think this is such an essential truth for every Christian to grasp, that this will help us in understanding many, many concepts, concepts like evangelism. What happens when you evangelize? What happens when you share the gospel? What do people understand? What do people grasp or know when you talk to them about the gospel? Can they know what you're talking about in and of themselves? Paul says here, the natural person does not accept those things. They're foolishness to him. Doesn't understand them. So spiritual truths and spiritual concepts can only be spiritually discerned. And spiritual discernment can only come through the Spirit of God. That's why I've called this understanding the things of the Spirit. Who can understand the things of the Spirit? It's not the natural person, as Paul says in verse 14. Now you'll notice Paul uses interchangeably the small word Spirit and the capitalized word Spirit. And of course he is distinguishing between that which is in man, small spirit, small s, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, with the capital S. So by Spirit, notice Paul means primarily in verse 11, for who knows the person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, the person's spirit, and they can only be, and so also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So Paul uses the word Spirit to convey to us the essential constitution, that which is internal, inside, that which we are, man himself, as the beginning of verse 11 says. Who knows a person's thoughts? How do you know your thoughts? You know them because you are spirit, the spirit that is in you. And man is not just a body then. We are much more than flesh and bones. There's something inside us. We recognize it. We know it. The soul, the spirit, that which is essential to who we are. We are not just the body. We are much more than that. We have spirit. We are a soul. So who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is, notice the text, in him, which is in us, the spirit of man inside him. So Paul uses spirit like that. But of course, throughout the passage, he also uses the capitalized spirit to refer to the Spirit of God. The Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And of course, we recognize that the Spirit is not just part of us as a person, but the Spirit, our spirits, form who we are as a person along with our bodies. So we are not persons apart or without this concept of spirit, our spirit. And so when Paul refers to the Spirit of God, he wants us to understand that he's referring to the Spirit of God as a person. That this is a person. This is not just a element of God the Father, but this is a distinct person, the Spirit of God, from God the Father and God the Son. And so a person who knows God, a person who is God, that is none other than the Holy Spirit in the text. Now I've said, if you want to grasp the complexity of Paul's argument, that of what Paul is saying here, I think you'll find it helpful if we revolve our understanding or our concept around that word, understanding. So will you notice with me, first of all, verse 8. Verse 8 says, none of the rulers of this age understood this. What is the this? It's verse 7, right? The secret hidden wisdom of God. The rulers of this age did not understand, did not grasp, did not comprehend the secret hidden wisdom of God. They didn't understand it. Notice verse 11. No one comprehends the thoughts of God. No one understands the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Same idea, understands or comprehends. Look at verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And what's the result of that? That we might understand the things freely given to us by God. So notice, we have received, he says, the Spirit who is from God. We have received the Holy Spirit for what purpose? That we might understand the things that have been freely given to us by God. Look at verse 14. The natural person is not able to understand. So the rulers of this age did not understand, did not grasp the secret hidden wisdom of God, and the natural person is not able to understand the things of the Spirit of God because they're folly to him. And then notice verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So I think it is helpful if you keep those concepts in your mind of understanding and of not understanding, of grasping and not grasping, of comprehending and not comprehending what Paul is trying to say in this passage. So when we say that to understand something, what we mean by that is you comprehend it, you grasp it. Now I have an interest in math. I'm not very good at math, but I have an interest in math. I know that I can only grasp and comprehend something mathematical if it's something I understand. And of course, you have to learn the principles and learn the precepts, the fundamentals that make up equations and the truth of them, the proving of them. If you don't understand those, you won't comprehend them. You won't grasp them. And so too here, spiritual truth, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, can only be understood by or through the Spirit of God. They cannot be comprehended by man's spirit, just by himself. It is only the Spirit of God who grants us, enables us, helps us to understand. It's quite clear in verse 14 that the natural person does not understand. And the rulers of this age did not understand the wisdom, the purposes of God, the things that God had decreed for our glory. Now often you will find the concept of understanding and knowledge, knowing things, interchangeably. So that if you understand something, you know something. If you know something, you understand something. And Paul uses that, and the Bible uses those terms sometimes interchangeably to convey the same idea. So in this passage, what you need to see is that there are people who do understand the things of God. There are people who grasp the things of God, who understand the things of God, who comprehend the things of God, who comprehend the things, as Paul says here, the things of the Spirit. There are people who do understand those. And then Paul says, there are also other people who do not understand, who do not grasp, who do not comprehend spiritual truth, or these things, as Paul puts it. So now, will you notice in verses 6 through 10 that Paul is speaking to a group of people. He calls them the mature. Notice verse 6, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom. But it's not wisdom of this age, and it's not the wisdom of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. He says to the mature who understand these things, we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God. Or, notice as verse 12 puts it, the things God has revealed to us, that we might understand the things that God has revealed freely, or things given freely to us. So on the one hand, mature people, Paul says, comprehend and understand. But on the other hand, in verse 6 and verse 8, the rulers of this world, the rulers of this age, Paul's time, do not understand, he says, the things of God. In other words, they do not know the wisdom of God. So when someone comes to you who is not a Christian and tries to tell you spiritual truth, you need to know that they cannot tell you that. They don't know it. They don't understand it at all. They don't grasp it. They don't comprehend it. Because it requires spiritual discernment in order to understand the spiritual truth, which only comes through and from the Spirit of God. Now, this word mature in verse 6 doesn't mean perfect. If you read the King James Version, it might convey that idea to you. But Paul does not mean perfect people. When he says mature, he says that there are among the Corinthians, as he writes, there are others, and there is himself, who have come to know and to understand God's wisdom, and it is not the wisdom of the age. Now remember, chapter 1, chapter 2, up to this point, the Apostle Paul has been contrasting the wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God. and that they're not the same thing. That human wisdom and God's wisdom are diametrically opposed one to the other. And the natural person in verse 14 holds to natural human wisdom, not the wisdom of God. Now, why does Paul talk in this passage about these things? Because I think, once again, he wants to remind the Corinthians that they are beginning to think too much of themselves. They are filled with pride. Pride comes from human wisdom. And Paul wants to reduce that understanding in their minds so that they get rid of human wisdom or the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of this age, in order to understand God's wisdom. And you cannot have the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this age, working alongside the wisdom of God. God doesn't do that. God shuns completely human philosophy, as we read in Colossians chapter 2. Let no empty human philosophy grab your mind. Don't let it get a foothold in the door. Shun human wisdom, because human wisdom aims at one thing, exalting man, and man becomes filled with pride. And the Corinthians have been thinking about those philosophies and human wisdom, and they have developed this pride among themselves. I am of Paul, I am of Peter, and so on. So Paul is still subtly drawing attention to the fact that among the Corinthian congregation, some of them are thinking about themselves as they ought not to think. So their pride, Paul would say to them, is a sign of worldly wisdom. And what does worldly wisdom actually look like? Because that's a good thing to try and understand. What does worldly wisdom actually look like? Look at verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this. So by understanding, we mean that they have some kind of wisdom, some kind of knowledge. But yet here, they do not understand and grasp certain things, right? What is it that they don't grasp? It's verse 7. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. Right? So verse 7, none of them understood God's wisdom. So in verse 8, the rulers of this world, what did they do? By their wisdom, they crucified Jesus. That's what man's wisdom did. Man's wisdom, human wisdom, crucified the Lord of glory. Notice, by the way, that little phrase, the Lord of glory. It was, of course, Jesus who was crucified. The concept, the title, Lord of glory, is really given to one who has overcome death and sin and risen from the dead and is exalted. That is the Lord of glory, who is, of course, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But here Paul wants them to understand that the whole purpose and plan of God, which includes even the resurrected, exalted Lord Jesus Christ, they don't get it. They don't understand it. By their wisdom, they killed the Lord of glory. They crucified Jesus. Now, if they had the wisdom of God, verse 7, if they had that wisdom, then they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So you see what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, if you have the wisdom of this world, you would kill Jesus. But if you have the wisdom of God, you would understand that God has enacted a decree to bring about salvation through His wisdom, the wisdom who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the wisdom and the power of God is Jesus Himself. So now, here's the majesty of Paul's mind, of Paul's thinking, of Paul's argument. He wants us to know, he wants the Corinthians to know, that the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ is a display of divine wisdom, of perfect wisdom. How do the Jews view the death of Jesus? It's a stumbling block. How do the Greeks look at the death of Jesus? It's foolishness to them. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the apostle says, this crucifixion, this death, this message of the cross, the one who died on the cross, The death of the Lord Jesus is actually divine wisdom, meaning it's God's wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the world. The world did not come up with the plan for Jesus to die. It's God's plan. Notice, the plan He decreed, the secret and hidden wisdom, which was decreed in ages before for our glory. So if the crucifixion of Christ is by divine wisdom, you cannot know that. You cannot understand that. You cannot grasp that without the Spirit of God, because it's divine wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the world. You can understand this only, that Jesus died by the Spirit of God. So our understanding now, the Corinthians' understanding, our knowing things is of a spiritual nature. And it is spiritual in its content. It does not come to us because it comes from us. No, this wisdom is given to us by God. Who enables us to understand. And that's what you see what Paul does in verse 14, right? So look at verse 14. Here you have, first of all, notice what Paul calls the natural person. He sets that, right, in opposition to the mature of verse 6. So he's contrasting the mature, the believer, with the natural person who is an unbeliever. So there's no question the natural person in verse 14 is someone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul calls him the natural person, meaning without the Spirit of God. Secondly, will you notice that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God? Now, you see that little word, accept? That is the word that means to receive. It means to take with the hand. Now, if I come to you with a gift, let's say it's Christmas time, and I have a gift for you, and I give you the gift, you put out your hand, and you accept, you take with your hand the gift, right? You accept it. Paul says the natural person doesn't do that when you give the gospel. The natural person does not do that when you tell them about Jesus crucified. The natural person does not accept, notice what Paul says, the things of the Spirit of God. So there's the idea of refusal, right? They don't accept it. They don't receive it. They refuse the message. They refuse the word of the cross. They refuse the gospel, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by not accepting, because they're natural, they are refusing what Jesus has done for them. So in other words, the natural person, man, woman, boy, girl, the natural, the unbelieving person, refuses the things of God, refuses the things of the Spirit. Now we have to ask ourselves the question then, well, why does the natural person refuse? Why doesn't the natural person accept these things? Paul says, look in verse 14, for they are folly to him or her. So why does this natural person not accept the things of the Spirit? Because sometimes in our evangelism, we ask ourselves, why doesn't this person believe? Why doesn't this person see what I'm telling them? Why doesn't this person grasp this truth? It's so plain. It's so clear. God states it so clearly. Why don't they accept it? Why don't they receive it? Why don't they take it from my hand as a gift? Paul says they don't do that because it is folly to them. That word folly is the word moria, from which we get the word moron or moronic. So what Paul is saying is that the unbeliever looks at the gospel, looks at Jesus crucified, and he says it's intellectually weak and it's irrational nonsense. It's folly. It's foolishness to me. That's all of human wisdom. That's how man in his natural condition looks at the gospel, looks at the Bible, looks at the cross, looks at Jesus, looks at all of these things. It's foolishness. All of it. From Genesis to Revelation, it doesn't make sense to me. It's moronic. So man, in his pride, which the Corinthians now, remember, are inclining themselves towards, and which may be you, are inclining yourself towards. Man in his pride wants nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, wants nothing to do with this message. So he refuses, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, number four, in case you think that the natural man could, if he wanted to receive, in case you think that the natural, the unbeliever, could receive these things and accept these things, look what Paul now says in verse 14, and he is not able to understand them. Not only does it appear folly to him, not only does he not accept it, but Paul now says he's not able to understand these spiritual things. In other words, man does not possess the spiritual ability to accept and receive the wisdom of God. Now you see where Paul's going, right? He is just removing all pride, all boasting, any idea that anybody might have that they actually contributed something to their salvation. Now, it's prolific in the Christian church, the idea that man contributes to his salvation. That's not what Paul says. Paul says man, in his natural condition, cannot even comprehend one spiritual truth apart from the Spirit of God doing a work in him. So man does not even possess this ability, this spiritual ability to believe, to receive the things of God. And then finally, look what Paul says. Why is man not able to understand them? Because they are spiritually discerned. So how does anyone understand spiritual truth? By spiritual discernment. Does man have spiritual discernment by himself? No. He doesn't even understand spiritual things. So spiritual ability is only through the Spirit of God. So to understand or to discern something is because of God the Holy Spirit. This is one of the greatest verses in all of the Bible for evangelism. This is one, if not the greatest verse in all of Scripture that you need to know when you talk to an unbeliever about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know, thank you Paul, now we know why people reject. Now we know why people refuse. Now we know why people don't accept. Now we know why people don't understand. They cannot, in the natural person, comprehend or understand the truth or the gospel or the word of the cross, as Paul tells the Corinthians. Why is that? They lack ability. They lack spiritual ability to comprehend, to understand the gospel. In fact, they are hostile to receiving the word. Hostile. In other words, Paul would tell us that the unbeliever is antagonistic towards God. The unbeliever is antagonistic towards Christ. The unbeliever is antagonistic towards the Holy Spirit. It's natural to them to think like that. Now, you know, it's possible in your family that you have someone who doesn't believe. It's possible that it's really near to your heart, close to home, someone who does not believe the gospel. Now you know why they don't and cannot believe the gospel. This is of immense benefit in sharing the gospel. That what we should be doing in our evangelism is praying to the Lord that the Lord would open their eyes. Because they cannot see, they are blind spiritually. That the Lord would open their ears and give them ears to hear the beautiful gospel, the good tidings of great joy. That the Lord would open their hearts, which are hard and cold and resisting to the gospel. That the Lord would tear it apart and shine His glorious light in. That the Lord would do that, because you can't do it and they can't do it. Only God can do it. That's what we need to understand. So, yes, how painful it is when our loved ones who are so near to us seem to just reject out of hand the good news. This is why, Paul says. They are trusting human wisdom, not divine wisdom. They are trusting man's ability, not God's ability. And they cannot believe apart from God doing a work in them. Now, if that's true of verse 14, then what about a Christian? How did you believe? How does someone go from being a natural person to being a spiritual person? And I don't mean a spiritual person in like, well, I am a spiritual person. I've got an interest in all things religious. That's not a spiritual person. That's a natural person. We're talking about understanding the cross. We're talking about understanding divine revelation, that which God has given to us in His Word. That's what we're talking about grasping. We're not talking about grasping some ethereal idea that I'm a good person, I do good things, I'm not a bad person. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about simply the fact that if you are like this, Paul says, you will never believe. So how is it that some have believed? How is it that I believed and you believed this good news? It is the sovereign work of God the Holy Spirit, who opened your eyes, softened your heart, opened your ears, because remember what Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. It's God who gives us faith to believe. So the opposite of the natural person would be spiritual persons or spiritual people, the mature. So the spiritual person accepts the things of the Spirit. The spiritual person receives the things of the Spirit. In other words, we as believers, we can understand spiritual truth. We can comprehend it. We can discern it. We know it. We grasp it. We get it. Why? Because we have been enabled to believe. Because verse 14 says the natural person is not able to understand. So how did we become able? The Holy Spirit has enabled us to believe these glorious and wonderful truths and principles. So it's the Spirit of God then who has caused you and me to be born again, born from the Spirit, as the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must be born from above. So that the Christian is no longer unbelieving. The Christian is no longer ignorant of this wonderful, divine, spiritual wisdom, who is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We're not hostile anymore. Aren't you glad? You're not hostile to the gospel. Every time you hear it, it's beautiful. Every time you hear it, it grabs your heart, doesn't it? It's a wonderful thing. So we receive it, we believe it, because it's been granted to us. Are we better than what we were? No. No, we're not. It's not because God looked at us and said, those people are better than the unbelievers, those other people. It's not like that at all. We were all ruined by sin. We all are guilty. We are all condemned. We are by nature children of wrath, sons of disobedience. But God intervened sovereignly. And every one of us has different backgrounds, different circumstances when God came to you and saved you. And He didn't save you by the church. And He didn't save you because you're good. And He didn't save you because you're able to be saved. He saved you in spite of all of that because He loved you and sent Jesus to die for you. Isn't that great? That's the gospel, right? That's the truth. That's the word of the cross. So it's been granted to us who once were natural. So don't be too hard on your unbelieving loved ones when they don't get it. Don't be too crushing of them and condemning of them because they cannot see and they cannot hear without the Spirit opening their ears and their eyes. So we once were, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, dead in our trespasses and sins. We once were by nature children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, has come to us and saved us, has He not, by grace. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive. God made you alive. You didn't make yourself alive. You couldn't. You see how much you owe Christ? You see how much you owe the Spirit of God? You see how much you owe God for saving you, for opening your eyes and working in you? Oh, we owe a debt that can never be repaid. That God should do that for me and for you. Because I'm not better than anybody else. In fact, I am the chiefest of sinners. Just like Paul says of himself, I am the chiefest of sinners. We all are. That's what we're like. So to believe the good news, right? To believe the gospel. To believe, to receive what God has revealed to us. That is something to comprehend the word of the cross. That's what it means to be saved by grace. That's what it means to be born of the Spirit. That's what it means to be saved by God. This is what Paul's telling the Corinthians, who had seen the wonders and the signs of an apostle done among them, who had heard the preaching of the cross and who had believed it, who said yes. How did they say yes? Because the Spirit of God was working mightily through the apostle Paul as he preached and proclaimed the word of the cross of Jesus. You see, this is how you and I have come to understand the things freely given to us. This is how we have come to comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. Notice verse 10. In verse 10, Paul says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. These things, look at verse 12, not that we have received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might understand the things freely given us by God. So because I've received the Spirit, I understand. Without the Spirit, cannot understand anything. So the question is now, well, Paul, what things? I mean, keep talking about the things of the Spirit. What things do you mean? Look at the end of verse 13. He talks about interpreting spiritual truth or truths to those who are spiritual. Who gets spiritual truth? Only those who are spiritual, right? Because the natural man doesn't receive them, it's folly to them, and they don't understand it. So, spiritual truths to those who are spiritual, it is the Holy Spirit then who helps us, verse 10, understand the things that God has revealed to us. Now, what are some spiritual truths that you know? You know who God is now because you believe the Word revealed. You know who Jesus Christ is. You know who the Holy Spirit is. You know and have received the things revealed by the Spirit. So Paul says in verse 7, look at verse 7, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God. Now when he says secret and hidden, he doesn't mean it cannot be known. He doesn't mean this is something puzzling or something mysterious that you cannot understand. That's not what he means. He says these things have now been revealed to us. This wisdom, the secret and hidden wisdom of God, it lay hidden for ages, even though God had decreed it in his purpose. The secret and hidden wisdom of God. But now God has revealed this wisdom to us. So verse 10 says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And so these things are, first of all, spiritual truths. Or notice how verse 9 puts it. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, these things, the things no eye has seen, the things no ear has heard, the things no heart has imagined, these things God has revealed through the Spirit to us. The things that God has prepared for those who love Him. So to whom has God revealed these things? To those who love Him now. And how has God revealed them? Look at verse 10. He has revealed them to us through the Spirit. And what is the result? Verse 12, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So now let's just back up a bit, because we're still working on the answer of these things, right? These things, these spiritual truths, have come to us by written revelation of God. They have come to us by divine inspiration of the Spirit of God in the Word, giving us the Scriptures. They have come to us by the illuminating work of the Spirit. We need the Spirit who has given the Word to illumine and teach us the Word. Now that you have the Spirit, you understand spiritual truth as you read God's Word. Why is it that an unbeliever reads the Bible and says, I don't get it, I don't understand it, I don't comprehend it, what's it all about? And the believer says, it's quite clear and plain to me. Why is that? Because God has made it clear by His Spirit to the believer. So the truth has come to us, not by human wisdom. Verse 13, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. So how do we learn spiritual truth? We are taught by God, the Holy Spirit. Also, just so that you and I would understand, would know the things of God, that we would savingly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this verse 9 is an Old Testament quotation, right? It comes from Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. Many people think the Apostle Paul is thinking about the glories of heaven, right? Things that the eye hasn't seen, things that the ear hasn't heard, nor that the heart has imagined. Now, if you think that, I'm not going to object to that, because I also quite think that myself. But that's not what Paul really means. He's not thinking about heaven, the things we haven't seen, or the things we haven't heard, because he says, these things God, in verse 10, has revealed to us. So Paul's not thinking about the glories of heaven. What he is thinking about primarily is the wisdom of God. God's wisdom, which cannot be known by the eye, which cannot be known by the ear, which cannot be known by the mind. You cannot discover or know God's truth, the saving truth that is in the Word of God, by some objective means or by some subjective means. You can only understand it by the Spirit of God. You can only, in this way, grasp spiritual truth by the Spirit, by the direct work of the Spirit. That is what God has revealed to believers. It is beyond human wisdom. And we have come to know ourselves, and we have come to understand this divine truth. It's God's truth, and it's only the Holy Spirit. Because only He knows, the Spirit knows, what God knows. Look at verse 11, second part. So also no one understands, comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. How is it that you can understand the mind of Jesus Christ? Because you have the Spirit of God, who knows the thoughts of God Himself. Because not only is the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit, but He is God, the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God the Father and God the Son. And now, dear congregation, because you and I have received the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, we understand, we get it, we grasp what God has given to us. We grasp why Jesus was crucified. We get it. We now know why Jesus died for us. It's not foolishness. It's not something we cannot understand any longer. No, we get it. We grasp it. We see it. It's real. It's truth. And it's truth for us. And we have latched onto it by the Spirit's work in us, in our hearts. And you will notice in verse 16 at the end that Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. And that little phrase comes from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13. And if you read Isaiah chapter 40, it's all about who can know God? Who can know God, right? The answer is, you and I know God. How do we know God? Because the Spirit has revealed it to us. We have an understanding. We have come to know the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? Now you remember when Jesus appeared to those disciples in the upper room in Luke chapter 24? In verse 45 it says that Jesus opened the mind of his disciples that they might understand the scriptures. Isn't that incredible? What did they understand up to that point? They didn't. They were confused at times. He opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. Jesus enabled his disciples to realize the truth. By the way, that word realize, to realize the truth, is from the Latin Vulgate. It's a good translation. He enabled them to realize the truth about himself, to come to know it. So that now they get the Old Testament, that it speaks of Jesus everywhere. Now they get it. Now they see it, right? Now we see it. Now we understand it. So the question is, what does an unbeliever say about these things? Right? Well, he doesn't know them. He cannot know them. He doesn't know any of them. He rejects them. He cannot receive them, verse 14 says. Calvin says that the wisdom of this world is a veil by which the mind of man is prevented from beholding God. The wisdom of man is a veil which blinds men to the truth of the gospel. We are living in an age of man's wisdom, like no other age. It is on display every day of our lives. New stuff, new technology, new wisdom, new knowledge, just advancing at a rate you cannot keep up with. None of that will open your eyes or your ears to Jesus. Only the direct Spirit of God working in your life, in your heart. Now, what does the unbeliever think then of the Christian? You who say you believe. What does the unbeliever think of those things? Well, you know, the unbeliever judges Christians. But how do they judge Christians? The unbeliever will judge you as a Christian on the things they see, your behavior, what you're like. That's what they're looking at. What kind of person are you now? They look at your life. They look at how you behave. So they judge you on your behavior, or they judge you on your faults. Well, you did that and you did that. How can you be a Christian? That's how the world, how the unbeliever judges the Christian. But look at verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. In other words, what Paul is saying is that the unbeliever can never judge spiritual truth. Can never judge a believer because of spiritual truth. Doesn't comprehend it, right, in the first place. It's foolishness. So how can he make a judgment? It's folly to him. How can an unbeliever make any judgment on a believer, what they believe, what they know to be the truth? They cannot, because it's spiritually discerned, and they don't have that discernment. That's why Paul says the spiritual person is himself to be judged by no one. They can say what they like, but they can't grasp spiritual truth because it requires spiritual discernment. And we need, all of us, verse 13, to be taught by the Spirit. So, beloved brother and sister in Jesus, what an incredible work God has done in saving you and me. What an amazing work of grace that He has done this for you and me, that He has lavished Himself upon us, that we can know Him, that we can love Him, that we can serve Him, that we can believe in Him, that we can understand His Word. It's all by a sovereign, regenerating, renewing work of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Now let me say two things. To understand these things, spiritual things, is number one a privilege. Is it not? It's a privilege. Because you don't deserve it. And you don't merit it. And you can't bring it about by yourself. God has done it in you. So it's a privilege to know these things. But it also, number two, is a responsibility. You have a responsibility, an accountability to God. We must not be, as the psalmist says, as David says in Psalm 32, we must not be like the horse and the mule without understanding. We mustn't be like that. Nor should we be, we should think about Psalm 82:5, the wicked have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. They don't understand. They don't get it. I love how David prays about these things in that great long Psalm 119. It's marvelous. You should read them, those verses. Listen to what he says. Verse 34, Psalm 119. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding. Verse 73, your hands have fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Verse 130, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Or Psalm 119, 144, give me understanding that I may live. Those are all prayers by David. Give me understanding so that I can live for you, God. Give me discernment. Give me knowledge. Give me insight. Give me wisdom. And we should be like Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 2. Let me read what he says, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and then you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Right? Listen to what Solomon says, right? Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. So that when you read Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on what? Your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Thank God you can lean on the Spirit to help you, to grasp, to know, to learn, to discern spiritual truth. Why? Because we have the mind of our Savior, the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should praise God, right? We should worship Him. We should adore Him. We should say, I love you, God, because you have done this great work of salvation in me. When you see it like that, then of what value is human pride? Of what value is personality worship, celebrity worship? Of what value is the world, really, when you see what God has done for you in Christ? Let's pray together. Now, our Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us, that we might know you, eternal God, our Creator, our Lord, our Savior, that we might know your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, and that we might know the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Teacher. Thank you for these truths that we have come to know. Thank you for the word of the cross, which is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the wisdom and the power of God. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the cross. May each of us know what it means to come, to go to the cross, and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for sinners and died in their place. Thank you for the gospel, and thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for your great work in us, sovereignly renewing, regenerating, and transforming us by your power into the likeness and the image of the Son of God. Thank you for your word. Bless it to us, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you take your hymnal?